So good to be with you guys tonight. My name is Renaud. I am one of the pastors here at Mosaic, and it is a thrill always to be out here at the Disney campus and to jump in with you guys, Mosaic, at WDW. So excited to be here tonight, and so excited to travel with you guys through the particular stuff that we are in the middle of traveling through. So as some of you may know, many of you may not, at Mosaic Church, we have been traveling through the story of God through the scriptures for just about 12 or 13 years now. And we started in Genesis, and we've just kind of been chronologically making our way through the extraordinary story of God. And most recently, we are in the letter of Ephesians that Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus and to the surrounding churches. And so this is kind of our rhythm here at Mosaic, is we just kind of walk our way through the incredible story of God. We think we're about 10 years out from being done, and then we'll probably just start again in Genesis and try to do one more 25 to 30 year run. And by then, if I'm not dead, I'm going to... It's our rhythm. But on occasion, we kind of take pause and we step out of that rhythm and we just add a little something here and there, maybe for a Christmas season, maybe for an Easter season, and sometimes... just to get our heads wrapped around where God is moving us as a church so that we can bring all of you guys on board in terms of some of the clarity of what God is up to, what he's been up to, what he is up to, what he is going to be up to as we see it, as we pray, and as we seek him. So right now, we are walking through a couple of weeks where we are talking a little bit about the vision for 2020, 2021, and then what catalyzes beyond that, kind of what unfolds beyond 2021. And the story of the vision, the essence of the vision is captured in this singular phrase, every moment. And that's not just a branding, that is a reality that we are in pursuit of now as we seek out what it means to take our lives and begin to fix and focus on every single moment of our lives, the big ones, the small ones, the extraordinary ones, the seemingly ordinary ones, Jesus, every single one of them. And every single moment is an opportunity for us to engage in being redemptive as a participant in the gospel with the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit. So we are really trying to press into what that looks like. And as we have been wrapping our heads around what this vision is going to ultimately look like, as some of you guys may know, we've really kind of settled into three primary areas of focus that we want to focus on in the next 2 years, throughout those 2 years. And those three areas of focus aren't just random. They're not just like, oh, let's pick three things and roll with it. That sounds like a great idea. We have really sought the scriptures and tried to determine as a leadership of Mosaic what it looks like to be able to realize this dream we have, that every person that calls Mosaic home would begin to functionally live out what it means to fix and focus on every moment. And so in order to accomplish that, we really realized that we're going to have to invest our time, energy, and resources into some very particular areas. And as you may have heard if you were around the last 2 weeks, the first area is equipping our family to really see the people that follow Jesus and call Mosaic home equipped and inspired and sent out to go and live out redemptively in every single moment. And obviously, this is both biblical as well as practical. Biblical because the church in Ephesians is essentially the organism and the organized organism by which the saints are equipped to do the work of the ministry, the work of the gospel. And so we know that that is the very essence and purpose of the leadership of Mosaic, is to equip the saints, including me, to go and do the work of the gospel. And not only is that biblical and practical, but ultimately, as those saints are being equipped, we realize that in that, we want to spend a great deal of our resources investing in the emerging generations, our children, our students, our young adults. And last week, Danny was here and shared with you guys a little bit about the facilities that we are investing in, where you guys will be able to find some stability and some space to really soar, if you will, and go fly. I used to love the soaring. It's just so awesome. But now, you know, anyways, to really to really find some space to go and live out the calling that God has on your lives. And that in veneration, because you guys here, most of you fall into the category of emerging gen. And we don't want to invest in you for some future reality. We want to invest in you because you are changing the world now, right now. And you're going to be changing the world for hopefully a long time. And so we want to make sure that we are investing in you so that you can live out that story. And then in this journey of vision, you will see that one of the areas that we are pushing heavily into in terms of our time, energy, and resource is into the area of impacting the world. We actually, as an organized community, as an organism that is organized, as the church, we want to go and impact the world as a collective. We don't only want to equip you to impact the world and me to impact the world in our individuality, in our circles of influence, but we want to be a force collectively that is impacting the world. And so impacting the world is an essential part of our vision. And I pray that as long as I get to be one of the pastors at Mosaic, that it will be an essential part of our vision every single time we ever have a vision. Because at the end of the day, us impacting the world is the essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus does not essentially mean that we hang out here on the planet and wait to leave it so we can go to a cool place with mansions. That is not what the essence of following Jesus is about. Yes, we have eternal life and future redemption, which is a hope beyond our wildest imagination. But our time on this planet is as purposed and as beautiful as our eternal life in the next life will be, because it is the part to which God restores to us our created purpose, to be participants with Him in redeeming the unredeemed things as we were meant to be participants before everything was unredeemed, as people who display the glory of God to one another. And now the way we display the glory of God to one another and to the world is by invading unredeemed spaces. Look, this is the story of our master and our teacher, our savior. Follow Jesus. What that means is that we got to go do what he does, live like he lived, think like he thought. And what did Jesus do that was coined his people, the Jewish people at the time? They had spent their entire existence prior to the arrival of Jesus hiding from everything unredeemed so that they would not be infected by sin, because they already had sin in them. They were weakened. Their sinful nature, like all other humanity, was weakening their ability to live righteously. So if they invaded unredeemed spaces, they ended up unredeemed again, right? And when Jesus showed up, he began to walk with his disciples into the spaces that were previously to be avoided, that were forbidden, the unclean spaces. And instead of being infected by those spaces, he infected those spaces with life and light and freedom. He healed the lepers. He forgave the sinners. He engaged with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the everybody else's that everybody else avoided. He saw the demons leave people that had been possessed by demons. And he took his disciples out with him, not only to watch him, but to participate with him. Luke chapter 10, right? If you go read Luke chapter 10, in the very beginning of verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And so he sends them out in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. He gathers 72 others and he sends them out as well. And then Luke, who authored the Gospel of Luke, also authors the beautiful book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, in verse 1, listen to what he says. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach those whom he had chosen. So Luke is saying in Acts chapter 1, I already told you about all that Jesus did while he was here. And then he says this in Luke chapter 1, listen to this, verse 8. Jesus speaking to the disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In Matthew chapter 28, there, as the disciples encounter Jesus post-resurrection, Jesus says to them, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. So what Jesus does is he comes to us, his people. He tells us that we will be empowered by his Spirit, that we will be given his authority, and that we will go into all of the world. We will go into all of the unredeemed spaces, and we will be essentially the presence of God on this planet. How could I say something like that? Because what are we, the church, called? The body of Christ. And my presence with you today, right here, is because my body got in a car and drove over here and walked into this room and is standing on the stage. If my body wasn't here, then I'm not here with you, right? Now, Jesus functions beyond a body, but our tangible experience of Jesus is through his body. And who is his body now? The people that know Jesus. Us who follow Jesus, we're his body. And so he sends us out and says, listen, I am everywhere. I am doing all things. I am finishing every good work. I am making all things new. But now you go, and as you go, I go with you, and we invade the unredeemed spaces of the world. So this is what it means to follow Jesus. So we are equipping you and I to follow Jesus in every moment, so that in every moment our focus changes from building a life for ourselves to building a life that will ultimately be a life of participation with Jesus in redeeming every unredeemed space, whether it be internally in me, whether it be in my relational dynamics within biblical community, or whether it be outside biblical community in the local and global communities in which we live. So, do you understand now why living out a vision that includes impacting the world as a collective is non-negotiable? We have to do it. So the question then becomes, how do we, ways in which we do it? In every moment we get to do it. In areas of influence you live in, you get to do it. In your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in your relationships, with your resources, in your circumstances, you get to do it. But how do we as a collective fix and focus our energy as we step into impacting the world? Well, after many, many years of trying many, many things in terms of getting out there, we honed our focus onto two particular areas broadly in terms of how we think of engaging and impacting the world as a collective, and the area of justice and mercy works. So why these two areas? They're broad, but they're specific. Well, we chose church planting because there's this little incident that took place in the scriptures where Jesus is hanging out with his disciples just above the city of Philippi on a rock at the mouth of a cave that was thought of by the city of Philippi and the surrounding areas as a place that was the entrance to Hades or to hell. So it was very much a place that a Jewish person does not go. And Jesus goes, come with me, let's roll to Macedonia and roll into Philippi. And they're like, what? And they don't even want to do that. And then they get to Philippi and he rolls right up onto the edge of the mountain and sits in front of the gates of hell. And what does Jesus say there? He goes, who do people say I am? And they're like, eh, some say you're this, some say you're that. And then Jesus says, who do you all say I am? And what does Peter do? Peter says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says, Pete, man, you didn't just come up with that. That has been revealed to you. And then he says this, and on this rock. Now, one, he's standing on a rock in front of the gate declaration. That is what I call a gospel declaration. Whenever we are declaring Christ, Christ. Whenever we are declaring Jesus, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Whenever we are saying, this is Jesus, he is the Savior, and he saves you. That is the gospel. And here's what Jesus said. On this declaration, I am going to build something. I'm going to build this thing called the church. And what is the church going to do? It's going to be my body empowered by my Spirit. And what is it going to do? It is going to move into all sorts of unredeemed spaces. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I love that picture. One, because he's standing at the gates of hell, essentially. Two, because he didn't say the church will stand and the attack of hell will not win. No, no, no. Do you understand the picture he's giving us here? As the church moves forward into the spaces that belong to hell, what will happen when we move into those spaces? They will be redeemed. And the gates of hell that keep in what belongs to hell will not prevail against the movement of the church. So, whether we like it or not, Jesus decided that the church was going to be a force to be reckoned with, that in the spiritual realms, hell would not prevail against it. So whether you come from a messy church background or an awesome church background, whether you hate the church or love the church because the church hurt you or the church was the greatest blessing in your life, that's a human thing. I get it. Stupid humans are part of the church. I'm just going to say it. Because all of us are stupid sometimes, right? And some of us are stupid a lot of the time. So you may have been part of some really hard stuff. But Jesus still said that this thing called the church, in its proper form, is going to be a force to be reckoned with. And so we want to make sure that we are planting churches, gospel-centered, healthy, awesome, unrelenting churches that are going to storm unredeemed spaces and are going to do something about it. So the churches we want to plant, we want to make sure we're planting churches that understand that they are in a community, not to sit around and suck that community dry of their money and their resources so they can build more stuff, but they're in a community to engage in that community with the gospel and make real change and see justice and mercy happen. And so we're going to do that. We're going to plant churches. And then we're going to work with organizations that are engaged in works of justice and mercy. Why? Why should we be involved with organizations working for justice and mercy? Is it in the Bible anywhere that God is at work affecting justice and mercy? Just in case that was a confusing question for you, is it in the Bible anywhere that God is at work affecting justice and mercy? Just in case that was a confusing question for you. Okay, so look, yes, the answer is a resounding yes. As a matter of fact, even in the Old Testament, in Micah 6:8, what does he say? I mean, do you want to live life in a manner that is worthy of what God says? Then go walk with God, go do justice, go do mercy. So we want to be out there affecting justice and mercy. And if there are people doing great works and affecting justice and mercy, we want to get behind them. So those are the two primary areas into which we invest resources, time, and energy. Okay, now, the way this plays out is that we actually go plant churches by investing in people that are planting churches, both through training. We have a church planting residency we do where we train up church planters and get them ready to be sent out to be effective and healthy. We are part of Acts 29, which plants churches, now 800 churches globally, all over the world. And we get behind funding some of the churches they plant. We fund churches in the northeast of the U.S., in Florida, in Latin America, and in multiple other parts of the world because we want to get behind church planting. And then we also get behind actual organizations that are affecting justice and mercy. And we are constantly trying to find new ways to divert more resources, energy, and time into these spaces because impacting the world is non-negotiable for us. So where did all this begin? Well, it began before 2012. We were a little church, putzing along, doing our thing, trying to make impact, and we found some local organizations to give time and energy to, and eventually some resources. And early on, when we were a little church, I mean half the size of this room, entire church, I remember the first time we said, okay, we are going to find a kid through Compassion International and World Vision, and we're going to sponsor a kid. It's going to be $42. Actually, at that time, it was $23 a month. And we weren't sure if we're going to be able to pull off $23 a month out of the little budget that we had, but we were committed, so we picked two kids because we were like, that's it. I don't think we can afford $23, but we're going to go for $46, and we're going to trust God. And that's where our journey began, locally and globally engaging. By 2012... laid out. 2012, this is before we stepped into our first vision initiative. We had three church planters we were supporting. That was thrilling. And we had three global justice and mercy partners we were supporting with our time, resources, and energy. And it was thrilling to have moved from two kids and a little local engagement with time to actually being able to fund and get behind three church planters and three justice and mercy organizations. In 2013, we bumped it to 5 and 9. And we were like, we're going to go all the way. We're going to keep pushing in. And we pushed. We have this little saying at Mosaic Church where we say we would rather serve at the cost of surviving than survive at the cost of serving. And so we always found ways to press harder into these spaces. And then in 2015, we bumped to 9 church planters and we bumped to 10 justice and mercy ministries. Church planting costs a great deal of money to resource, and justice and mercy cost a great deal of money to resource, and we were thrilled to be at that point. Then in 2015, something happened at Mosaic. We moved from taking the beginning of each year and just talking about that year, and we began to sense God stirring us to really dream about a 2 or 3 or 4 year journey in terms of vision. And we launched what we called Get Loud, our very first vision initiative, which is what we're in the middle of right now called Every Moment. It's a vision initiative inviting our church to participate with their time, energy, and resources in what God is up to. And that first Get Loud, here's what happened after we did that initiative. We bumped from 9 church planters and 10 justice and mercy. We bumped to 22 church planters and bumped to 16 justice and mercy ministries that we got behind because our church responded with their time, energy, and resources in a gospel beautiful way. And so we were able to launch into that. Since 2017 to 2019, we have continued on that track without breathing or taking a breath, rather. And we are now at 34 church planters that we invest in and 18 justice and mercy ministries that we invest in. So that is where we're at right now. Those are neat numbers, 34 church plants and 18 justice and mercy ministries. But let me give you maybe a little different kind of number that might help you understand the extraordinary privilege it is that we as a church get to be part of this, okay? So Gabe, who heads over all of our local and global missions movement, he went and did a little project for me. I asked him, would you go through all of the ministries we support right now, the 18 and the 34? I want you to find out exactly how many people these ministries impact directly. I'm not talking about the little brochure thing where you're like, well, there's a church in a city of 20,000, so they technically impact 20,000 people. I'm saying how many people actually attend these churches and are active recipients impacted by these justice and mercy ministries and are actually immediate recipients of these ministries. And here's what he figured out. Okay, listen to this. Over 20,000 people every week are impacted by the combination of those two, listen to this, in 65 different communities in 22 different countries. Isn't that pretty awesome? That we sit here, and if you call Mosaic home, and you participate in a Mosaic story with your resources, and you are part of what equips the saints here by participating and serving, then every single week, over 20,000 people in 22 countries and 65 communities are experiencing direct gospel impact because we show up and we give our resources and we give our time and energy. That is an extraordinary thing. This last decade that we've been a part of the church, we have gone on 60 missions trips, and we have taken 540 people on those missions trips. And that has been a direct impact onto these communities where our global partners reside. This is where we have been. To just give you a taste of what this feels like in reality, I've given you numbers now, I've given you people numbers, but I want to give you a taste of the reality of how this impacts the people that are our church planting partners and are our justice and mercy organizations. So take a look at this video and catch a glimpse both locally and globally of how this works. Watch this.
I As a church, we believe that a big part of our calling is to make every moment matter for Jesus. And we do that not just in the walls of our church, but also making an impact in the world locally and globally. This is not just sending money, but it's also investing in relationships, in training, and in developing and maintaining those partnerships that we have.
We moved to Claremont in 2010 and just have such a heart for this city. We love the growth. We're excited by what we see. And we see a lack of missional gospel-centered churches that are reaching those who have not been in a church or have left the church. We see culture pushing back so much on how connected everything is with globalization, the digital revolution, and we want to be an actual community where people genuinely love each other. The church planner residency at Mosaic was tremendously beneficial to us.
As we're starting this new journey of church planning, which can be difficult and exhausting and scary, everyone welcomed us in and gave us lots of advice and loved on us and encouraged us all throughout the way.
Being in the regular circuit of preaching in front of the other pastors and getting feedback to help me grow in my ministry of preaching, counseling as well, just learning how to navigate interpersonal relationships. I was able to spend some time with every ministry area at Mosaic and just learn how Mosaic does it and then what can translate to another city and another culture. It was tremendously beneficial to be sent from Mosaic and know that Mosaic not only just sent us, but Mosaic is with us. We want to be a church that is truly known for loving each other, just as Jesus said it would be. What we hope in that is that we've actually grown to a point where we've sent out our first other local church, that we want to be planting churches here locally and around the world. So we hope to increase the number of global partners, but also to have another church that is a daughter church of Beloved here in even our own city and community. Church planning is hard, but it means a lot to know that there's a church that has your back.
Guatemala is where I pastor. I pastor a church called Casa de Libertad. We've been able to connect churches in Latin America with churches in Southeast, and Mosaic has been instrumental in making those connections happen. I don't just get to pastor a church where I get to preach every Sunday, which I love. I get to lead a community that is making a true impact in all areas of Guatemala. My family started Funda Niños in 1991 with a very small vision focused to help a very limited number of children. And little did we know, God had bigger plans in mind. All the people from Mosaic, a lot of teams have come down, served the children. And we've seen children that have been stuck in a system that really doesn't work for them. They're looking at what the gospel looks like, even for them. The grace of God extended to us to have people from Mosaic come serve our church, serve our children, serve orphans in our community through the work that we do at Funda Niños. So thank you for that. As we have strived to be faithful to Scripture and preach the gospel, it's just to see people take the gospel into every moment of their lives. So we get to see how their marriages are changing because the gospel is impacting the way a man loves his wife. And we've been able to see people just bring the gospel to work and see how every moment of their work is impacted by the gospel and how they do it as a service to God. And so it's just fascinating to watch the gospel impact every situation in life and just have every moment be about the gospel.
Guatemala is a great example of what we're trying to do with our global partnerships, where we are working together and serving one another, where we're investing in church planting, in justice and mercy, in leadership development, in orphan care, and we're doing this together as brothers and sisters in Christ, living on mission and making every moment count by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus.
So, as you can tell, that is just a glimpse of the incredible energy into things beyond our walls. And where we want to go, not where we are now, where we want to go looks pretty different than where we are. So this slide right here shows you where we want to go. As we step into every moment, just like when we stepped into Get Loud and we were like, where is this going to take us? And it launched us into 34 and 18. Here's where we want to be. By 2021, we want to have 49 churches we are directly investing in as church plants that are all around the world. And we want to have 23 justice and mercy partners. Now, just so we're clear, we didn't just sit back and go, pick a number. Let's go, 34 sounds fantastic. Let's do, no. Let's jump it to 49. Why not? No. That 49 number and this 23 number are actually numbers that we pulled from the current church planters and the current justice and mercy ministries that we have vetted, we have looked into, we know we want to be a part of in the next year or two, but we need the resources to engage. Take a look at this picture. This picture right here shows you some of the people that are not currently global partners that we are hoping to make global partners. This is not a picture we pulled from a magazine, okay? This is not like theoretical people. Theoretically, those look really, really nice. These are actual families of actual people that we are actually connected to at this current time that we are super excited about jumping into. In this picture, we have Argentina, we have Mexico, we have, in fact, Erin up there, super cool story, right? She went up on one of our little missions trip to one of our church planting partners up in the Northeast called 7 Mile Road Church, okay? She was there for a little week doing and moving in January to the Northeast to go and volunteer in their children's ministry and give time, energy, and resources to their church so she can help them. Now, just so I'm clear, just so we're very clear on what I just said, she's moving from Florida in January to the Northeast. When she arrives, she'll be lucky if there isn't 400 feet of snow. She'll be lucky. And she's doing that because she's like, there's a church plant I've fallen in love with, and I want to take my life and set it aside for this story. So these are the kinds of stories we want to get involved in. Not only are these stories we want to get involved in, but for us, the engagement in this little company that we've all heard about called Disney is extremely important to us. So one of the things that we've done is in our strategy for those 49 church plants that we want to get behind, we are strategically looking at some of the Disney-centric cities where there are currently Disney parks in play so that we can get Disney campuses like this set up in those cities. As a matter of fact, when we had the Acts 29 Global Conference here in Orlando in July, Danny contacted the church plants that are in some of those Disney-centric cities and invited them to meet with us. And we met together right across the hallway and we talked about what it would look like to partner with them as we fix and focus our eyes on reaching people that are specifically attached to this company called Disney so that the company that has worldwide reach will begin to shape the world from a gospel-centered standpoint. So there are many of you in this room that will end up on assignment in some of those Disney-centric cities because of the work you do, and we are going to realize together that those moments were not for your assignment, but for you to be a missionary on Disney's dime so that we can go and affect things for the gospel in extraordinary ways. So this is part of our strategic plan of how we're going to engage in planting churches around the world. We are very excited about what lays ahead in 2020 and 21. But the question really becomes, how do you and I engage in this story in a way that actually makes us legitimate participants and not participants by facto of sitting in a gathering and saying, I attended Mosaic? If you come and show up and attend Mosaic, you are not yet a participant in all of this awesomeness. You are an observer of all of this awesomeness. But to become a participant, that is a different ballgame. So have any of you guys ever seen one of these neat little things that you find at a playground? You guys remember what this thing's called? I couldn't even remember what it was called, so I had to go Google it, right? It's called a roundabout. So the roundabouts are awesome. How many of you guys have never been on a roundabout, just out of curiosity? Praise God, that's awesome. Okay, who loves the roundabout? I'm just saying, who hates the roundabout? Oh my gosh, I threw up, right. So the roundabout, you get on that thing and it spins around and it's awesome, except that to spin around, what does it require? An actual human, right? So have you ever been to a park where there's an old roundabout that's kind of rusty, and there's a little kid that really wants to ride the roundabout, and they've grabbed the edge, and they're shoving that thing, and then basically like, and then they hop on, and it just stands still. And then they hop off, and they're like, I have seen that, okay? What is the most extraordinary thing for a kid like that? When someone shows up that's four times their size. And that someone has no interest in riding the roundabout. They only have interest in creating momentum for the roundabout. Okay? So that is the word picture that we want to live in. You see, there are communities around the world that do not have the gospel. They do not even have a roundabout in their playground. They don't even know what a roundabout is. And what do we want to do? We want to be a force that participates with others to go put a roundabout in their community. Not like one of these, but the gospel. To go, man, there is a thrilling ride called the gospel, and you don't even know what it is, and we're bringing it to you. And when you get on this thing, it is going to blow your mind because it is freedom beyond your wildest imagination. So some of our work in justice and mercy and church planting is to get the roundabout in the community. Sometimes there's a roundabout. A lot of our global partners, it was rusty and it was old because they pieced it together with the few resources they had. And there's one little guy shoving at that roundabout, trying to make it spin. And the community sees it and it's a roundabout, but they get on it and they're like, and they're like, well, I mean, it's definitely cool. What do we want to do? We want to come alongside those people. We want to get on that roundabout, not standing on it. We want to grab one of those poles and we want to start shoving with them so that they suddenly feel this thing start flying. And we want to be the big brother that shows up and goes, man, you're awesome that you showed up here and built a roundabout, but we're going to make this thing fly. And when that community gets on it, they're going to be blown away. And then there's some spaces where they got the roundabout and it's in good shape and it's spinning decently. But at the end of the day, if they could have some added resources and some added human energy, they can take that roundabout to a whole new level. And then as that roundabout gets spinning, that organization or that church can actually put other roundabouts in the rest of their community because we get behind them, because we can help their roundabout move so fast that they can focus on more roundabouts. So it's a silly little word picture, but it is certainly where we want to play. And what that means is that for you and I to participate in the redemptive story that God is affecting in all of these global and local environments, there's a couple of things we can do. There's a couple of things that are simple that we can do. On a local level, this is the simplest engagement on the planet. There are basically three things you here at Mosaic WDW can do starting today that will cause you to be a participant in moving these roundabouts around. The first is this. It sounds so simple and so crazy, but it's a reality. You can participate with your resources. When you actually make the decision to take some of your hard-earned resources and you give them to the work that God is doing here, you are immediately a participant with all of that. So that is a very simple, unbelievable reality. I participate with my resources. I'm on a roundabout. Second, you can actually pick one of our local partners. We have a whole list on our website. And you can actually drive to one of those local partners and you can actually volunteer. Oh, unique to your story here at Disney. If you volunteer with one of our local partners and you go register it at Disney Volunteer, is that right, Disney Volunteer? Look at that, Renault remembers. Guess what happens with Disney? When you register an organization over and over again, guess what Disney starts doing? You don't even know, do you? They start funding that organization because you volunteer there. They start funding it because you volunteer. So if you volunteer and you register, you not only give your time and your hours, but you give Disney's money to things we are getting behind. How awesome is that? I mean, come on, does it get any simpler than that? So you can just go do that. And then here's a third one. This is like a no-brainer, right? as you go into the parks and you go do your thing, carry a couple of those uncommon love cards and hand those puppies out. There's nothing I love more. The other night I was at an event at Epcot Center. And we had this little thing where we went into like one of the America places and they served a meal. And you know those people that stand at the door that work for Disney? Oh, wait, I'm staring at a bunch of them, right? And it's amazing, isn't it, how people totally ignore you? Isn't that amazing? People just think like you're part of the furniture and you just walk by. Or the person that serves the meal or the person that stands behind the little line that serves the punch. Like you ignore them. And there's nothing I love more than not ignoring them. Isn't that just amazing when you don't ignore them? When you walk up and you say, thank you so much for serving me tonight. This has been so good. Thank you for being here. And they're like, you're welcome. And I'm like, you're awesome. And they're like, thank you. And then you just, that is awesome. So I did that all night at this event. And it was super weird to everybody, but not to the people serving. See, it's not difficult to become a participant pushing that roundabout, making the gospel known in the areas that it's not known so well. So for you guys, on a simple level, actually give some of your resources to what God is doing here, because this is what you're part of. Actually go volunteer and register, because then you take Disney's resources and give them as well, and actually walk around and do some uncommon love stuff. That's the easy part. And then here's the other part. Start thinking. If Mosaic is going to be in some of the Disney-centric cities, maybe I can start looking for some assignments that will take me to some of those Disney-centric cities. And when I get one of those assignments, I'm not thrilled because I've got an awesome assignment. I'm thrilled because I get to be a missionary. And I'm going to let Danny know immediately and say, next year I'm rolling to this place. Who do I connect? What church do I step into? How do I get to be a missionary? Let's actually start thinking together about how we can go change the world with the already resources we have and the already opportunities we have. What seems to be ordinary turns out to be extraordinary because God is involved in it. That's what every moment is all about. It's starting to think about everything, your workspace, your resources, your relationships, your circumstances, in terms of how they affect kingdom redemption. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, why are we doing all this, folks? Why do we have church? And why do we gather up? And why do we go out? And why do we live redemptively? Why? Because we serve Jesus. That's why. Because we serve Jesus. And all of this is by his power. All of this is through his mission. And all of this is for whose glory? His glory. And if that's the case, then it's not about our life. It's about his, isn't it? And that's how we're going to go live. So let's go live out every moment. Let's be a part of this. Let's participate. Let's get on that roundabout and let's start shoving that thing so it spins so fast that the kids on it, that are the humans that don't know the gospel, will be blown away by the thrill ride that the gospel really is. Pray with me. God, thank you so much for your incredible love for us. Thank you so much for the time we've had together. Thank you for the things we get to participate in. Thank you for the opportunities we have every day, every single day, to go and jump in, whether it be volunteering or doing some uncommon love or participating with our resources or thinking strategically about where our next assignment is going to be so we can get into some global environments and make a difference. God, thank you that we get to be part of these amazing people that are working in 22 different countries and 65 communities affecting 20,000 people. God, that's mind-blowing to me. And thank you that there are many waiting for us to get behind them. May we see the kind of generosity in time and resources affected in this place that would cause us to blast right by that 49 church plant goal and blast right by that 18 justice and mercy goal and move into spaces beyond our wildest imagination so that we can see more roundabouts in more communities where people can experience the gospel. We love you, Jesus.